sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning, Becky?
Doing great, Mark. We are going to be talking about something today that is a little bit different than we usually talk about, and that is loan assumptions. You know, a year ago, interest rates were half what they are now, so a lot of people will want to purchase the equity in a home and take over those low interest, say that 3.5% payment, interest rate payment. So where you have got with us Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage.
Good morning, Mark and Becky.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you. This is going to be something that is like one of those real estate topics that there's an ebb and flow to them, that for a while there was really assumable loans weren't something talked about.
Who wants
it was flip-flopped.
Who wants to assume an 8% mortgage when you can get 3.5%?
Right. Now we're back to what is really historically a normal market where rates are in the sevens and some around there.
Right.
And we have people with loans out there sitting at 3% and sometimes less. How do assumables, just the basic, how does an assumable loan work? And are all loans assumable?
Yeah. So two very good questions, and Becky's exactly right. This is something that we haven't heard about for years, literally years, maybe 20 years, and we're beginning to see some tractions in terms of loans and assumability of loans. So in answer to part B of your question, and I think we'll talk about the four primary loan types, right? So conventional loans, FHA loans, VA loans, and USDA loans. And essentially, three of the four are assumable. And conventionals, you know, will likely be a short segment, a short discussion. For the most part, conventional loans are not assumable.
So if someone has a conventional loan, and that's basically a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac mortgage-backed loan, right?
Right.
Then that is not assumable.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So we're not going to talk about conventional anymore. I'm glad you brought up USDA, because a USDA loan is 0% down.
It is.
And it's a cousin to, we like to call it a cousin to the FHA loan. It really is not an FHA loan, but it is administered through the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So.
And USDA.
And USDA. Right. So everyone's got their finger in the pot,
yes,
on that one. Okay. So tell us the basics of getting a USDA loan to start with.
Okay. So USDA loan are loans that are for what I would describe as smaller communities. So a USDA loan is not available in Oklahoma City, for instance, or really the surrounding areas of Oklahoma City. But if we go to Guthrie, perhaps, or Jones, there are parts of El Reno, then a USDA loan.
Blanchard,
yeah.
Something
Newcastle,
like,
mm-hmm, exactly. You know, those areas most likely would qualify for USDA eligibility. So the benefits of a USDA loan are it's a zero down payment, as Becky mentioned, and there's a monthly mortgage insurance payment associated with a USDA loan, but it's only 35 basis points, and you compare that to an FHA loan recently changed to 55, right? So it's a lower monthly mortgage insurance premium and a lower upfront insurance premium of 1% compared to an FHA loan of 1.75%. So it's a very, very good loan product. There are income restrictions, and those restrictions are by county. But if you qualify and if the property is eligible, in a USDA area, then it's a good loan product at the very least to consider.
So a USDA loan is based on a map.
It is.
Designed to be for more of a rural area.
Correct.
But it also is based on not just the property qualifying, but doesn't the buyer have to qualify for this by having a certain income level?
They do. There's a maximum, what they call household income, that the buyer will have to meet. And again, that is by county. That's by number of individuals in the household. You know, the credit qualifying, somewhat similar to an FHA loan. You know, they like to see around a 640 credit score, although you can go lower than a 640, but it requires a manual review by USDA. So, you know, there are a lot of similarities to an FHA loan.
And property-wise, like when somebody hears USDA, they're thinking farm, agriculture, acreage. Are those the only properties that qualify?
No, actually single family. And it can be on a small acreage, or it can be on a lot, for example. So, you know, if the property, again, is located in one of their eligible areas, and USDA has a website that you can go and you can click on the link and you can type in the property address, and it will tell you whether or not that particular property is eligible for USDA financing.
So can a USDA loan, how much of a down payment is on a USDA?
The down payment requirement is 0%.
Zero down payment. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if someone purchased a home and they have, say, a 3.5% interest on a USDA loan, but they purchased their home, say, 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
Okay. Even though they put no money into it in the form of a down payment, they can get money out of it because they can sell their equity. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So how does that work?
So, you know, I'm a numbers guy, so I'll try and equate that into numbers. But let's say the buyer purchased a $200,000 home and put 0% down, so their loan amount is going to be right around that $200,000 bogey. And it's been 3 or 4 years, so they have built up equity. I'm getting a little bit into your lane, but they built up a percentage of equity. So the buyer interested in assuming the seller's loan, essentially are going to pay for that equity, whatever that may be. So let's say the value of that property is now $215,000. Their loan amount initially was $200,000. Now they owe $195,000. So we have, what, $20,000 of equity, so to speak? And that's what would be subject to negotiation.
Okay. But now, does the new buyer, say they've got the $20,000 or $25,000 cash and want to purchase the equity, how do they assume the loan? Do they have to qualify financially? Do they have to be below a certain income level in order to get the USDA loan?
Very good questions, and the answer to all of the above is yes. So they are going to have to credit qualify, and really the biggest difference between assuming a loan and doing a loan for a purchase transaction is, you know, there's no appraisal done on the transaction. So they do have to credit qualify, and they will have to meet the minimum income standards for that particular county.
For the maximum income?
I'm sorry, the maximum income.
Yeah,
correct.
So
they
can
have
only
to be
make
below
a,
the maximum income,
so
right?
So if you're making $200,000 a year and you're trying to get qualified on a USDA loan, it's not going to work.
Nope.
I don't care whether you're assuming it or originating it, right?
Right. Yeah, okay. I think that number, Becky, again, it depends on county, but it depends on number in the household, but we're talking around the $90,000 household income range, and maybe up slightly.
Or the total household income.
Right,
So if you got grandma living with you and she's getting a Social Security check, that counts.
That is exactly right. It does.
If you got Mr. Teenager living with you that has a job at Home Depot after school, that counts,
That does
right?
count. You bet. It,
okay.
It does.
Total household income.
Right.
So when we come back, we'll be talking about the other assumable loans when right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
NMLS number
1197740.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage talking about assumable loans. We talked about USDA loan, but a big one, in this, especially in this area, are VA loans. And this can get a little complex, can it, Matt?
It can. I think we'll get into the weeds on the VA loan, the VA loan program and assumption guidelines.
Well, we need to get in the weeds then. So, we are an informative show. We want to tell people how to do it and if it can be done. And the answer is yes, it can be done. You can assume a VA loan.
The answer is yes. And much like the FHA and much like the USDA, the assumptor or assumptee has to credit qualify.
So the buyer has to credit qualify for the loan.
That is correct.
Just like if they were doing a originating a loan,
right.
Same guidelines.
That's correct.
The only thing is that it does not require an appraisal.
Does not require an appraisal, correct.
Now, do you have to be a veteran to assume a VA loan?
Yes, great question, and this is where it gets a little bit complicated. But the answer to that question is no, you do not have to be a veteran to assume a VA loan.
So if the new buyer, say, I'm not a veteran.
Right.
And I go out and I want to assume a VA loan, the veteran that put that loan on there and used their eligibility, do they have to give up their eligibility?
Yeah, great question. And that's the issue when a non-veteran assumes a loan. The current veteran or the selling veteran will give up their entitlement or their eligibility. It will stay with the property, but the veteran will not maintain that, will not retain that.
So now, can you get more than one VA loan?
You can in some instances, yes.
And what is the $144,000 rule? Do you recall that? Something about the second loan, the second VA loan has to – the home has to be at least $140,000-some.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing.
And the math behind that is it's really unique to the circumstance. But, yes, there is something that we refer to as substitute eligibility. And you can utilize that substitution. It's something that we as a lender have to go in and research and document and validate. But if it's available, then a veteran can purchase a second home or a new home are using their eligibility.
And new or existing home, right?
Right.
A new loan.
Right, new loan, new VA
using
loan.
Using their
right.
eligibility. And this is very, it's not really individualized, but it's so complicated that it's nice to know what the individual circumstances are so that you can say, yes, you can, or no, you can't.
Right. And a lot of times the veteran doesn't know. And we've had one recently where the veteran came to us with full intention of doing a conventional loan, but we researched their substitution or their eligibility, and we could do the new loan, the purchase loan, as a VA loan with their substitute.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that over the years the eligibility has been increased? So
it
maybe
could.
They have remaining
it could.
Eligibility
right.
left.
And it might have something to do with the original property that was purchased and the dollar amount associated with that eligibility.
So it you're right. We can get into the weeds on a VA loan pretty easily.
Yes.
But you need to go to somebody who knows exactly what to do. Do you guys do assumptions? Or does that go straight through the VA?
Yeah, good question. So if SWBC is the servicer of your loan, so if you're making payments to SWBC, you will deal with SWBC servicing on an assumption. Now, if your loan's with SWBC, you can come to Dean and I, and we'll help facilitate that. But you will not be dealing with our office. You'll be dealing with our servicing office, which typically when you, as the listing realtor or buying realtor, decide that, you know, we want to look at this, then it's requesting what they call an assumption package from the servicer, whether that be SWBC or any other servicer, loan servicer.
Okay, so other than assuming the mortgage at the the old interest rate. Is there a fee involved in transferring or assuming a VA mortgage?
Yeah, good question. And those fees are determined by whether it be FHA or VA. And it typically, or it is right around $500 on a VA loan.
One of them is like 0.5% or something, and I've forgotten. Maybe that's an old number, but it's at least $500.
Right.
And sometimes it will be 0.5% of whatever. So if it's a $200,000 loan, it could be a $1,000 fee, right?
Yep. The $500 fee is associated with FHA loans, and the VA processing fee is 0.5%.
Okay. So is there a – so for FHA, which we've really not talked about yet, but USDA we've talked about.
Right.
And there's probably a $500 fee on that as well.
There is, correct.
So the assumption fee is $500 and on – USDA and 0.5% on VA, but it can be assumed.
It can be, yes.
And the veteran might be okay with giving up his VA eligibility. I don't know.
Might be. You know, if they don't plan on using it again, or there may be enough value in that 2.5% interest rate that they can get a little bit more value out of the sale of their home.
You know, I've got a son who is selling a home right now that has a VA loan on it. And the problem is that properties have gone up so much in value that people don't have, the buyers don't have the $100,000 to put in as equity.
Right.
So can you borrow that money?
You can. You can. So really two options, right? You can go to the seller and ask them to carry a second mortgage for that equity position, or you can go to another financial institution, for instance, a bank or a credit union. You might and likely will be limited to the loan-to-value of how much of that they will cover, but you know, it would just be an issue discussion with that financial institution.
So you can borrow the money.
You can.
To purchase an equity.
Right.
Maybe you'll have some money down, and then you can borrow part of it,
right,
or just come up with all of it,
right,
and assume that 3%, 3.5%, whatever rate that is, and you have less number of years on that mortgage as well.
You do. You not only assume the rate, but you're also assuming the remaining term, and you're assuming any mortgage insurance payment that might be associated with that loan, FHA or USDA.
With the rates going up so much on the mortgage, the mortgage insurance premium, if you did get a new appraisal, you might be able to do away with that mortgage insurance, do you think?
Well, no, because we're talking USDA and FHA, and on an FHA loan, it doesn't go away. So it's life of loan, monthly mortgage insurance coverage, and it's the same on a USDA loan. So it doesn't go away.
Okay. Okay.
So if you have a veteran with a VA loan selling to a veteran with VA eligible, and the VA eligible buyer's assuming that loan,
right,
then the seller could potentially just keep their eligibility and transfer
that. Right, because the buyer's eligibility will take place of the seller's eligibility. And the seller will walk away with their eligibility, and then the buyer's eligibility is tied up in the new property.
Gotcha.
The property that was assumed.
So the ability for veterans to have a second VA loan is new to me. That was a new, because I thought you were only eligible for one.
Well, it's very complicated.
Yeah.
And back when this became a thing, because it hasn't been a thing forever.
Right.
But
right.
It was a thing maybe, I can't even remember how many years ago, maybe 20 years ago. I can't remember. But the fact is that it was pretty easy to find a $144,000 house, and now you would be hard-pressed to find that.
That's why I love this show. It's always learning. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be right back after the news on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Joseph, this is Mark Hart, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team here with Becky Ivins, and it's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. You can give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
It is assumption, as in mortgage assumption. And that's the conveyance of the terms and balance of an existing mortgage to a purchaser of the financed property. So they assume the terms of the mortgage do not change. The interest rate doesn't change. The number of years remaining on the loan doesn't change. And typically you have to qualify for that in order to assume someone's loan. Well, you always have to qualify for that.
That's what Matt and you were talking during the break about back in the 1980s. It used to be you didn't have to qualify. You would just assume a loan.
Frankly, you didn't even have to have a heartbeat.
That's funny. Dean and I both come from a servicing background, right? That's where we started our careers, and with Midland Mortgage Company here in town. And this was a big, big issue. They were referred to as simple assumptions.
Okay? Because in the 80s, the interest rates were up in 12, 13, 15%.
Right.
16 and, sometimes.
Yeah.
And Dean reminded me today of a situation that he had. He actually had to go testify, but we had a gentleman here in Oklahoma City that assumed 15-ish FHA loans under the Simple Assumption Program and never made a payment.
So but collected rents, I betcha.
And collected rents. And
wow.
You know, the foreclosure process in Oklahoma can drag out for several months, if not years. So he never made a payment and collected rents over the course of that time. He wound up in jail.
Well, that's fraudulent.
That's fraud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but nowadays, in order to assume a mortgage, you have to. You have to qualify.
Yeah, you do.
On
so that
all mortgages.
That all changed in December of 1989. And any loan originated after that date, you had to credit qualify.
So, and all those mortgages are gone.
Right.
Because
right.
There's only 30-year mortgages, right?
Exactly.
Our word of the day, by the way, is brought to you by Robbins Roofing. And you need to remember that if you live within the sound of our voice, you need to call Robbins Roofing and have them check your roof, because we've had a lot of hailstones fall, and you might not have been home. You might have been somewhere a half a mile away from your house when the hail fell, and it was pea size, and yours might have gotten tennis ball size hail, and you can't tell from the ground, by the way. Let them get up on top of that roof and look at it for you. Robbins Roofing is 728-3700. Okay, now we're talking about FHA assumptions.
Yes.
Okay.
So credit qualifying, right? So minimum credit score all the way down to a 580. Again, on an FHA assumption, there's no appraisal requirement. And the assumptee or the buyer is assuming the interest rate and the remaining term of that FHA loan as well as the monthly mortgage insurance premium.
Okay. Now, they have to basically make a loan application.
Right.
And pay the $500 transfer fee.
Correct.
Or application fee. You don't get that back if
you don't
qualify.
Nope, that is an upfront closing expense.
But you do not have to pay for, you do have to pay for your mortgage, your credit report.
Right.
And the assumption fee, but you do not have to pay for an appraisal.
Correct.
On an FHA assumption, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm curious as to how long it takes to process that assumption.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And again, remind our listeners that you will likely have to go to whoever is servicing that loan, right? And request an assumption packet. you're dealing probably with staffing issues, perhaps even processing experience issues. So as a listing and or buying realtor, I would suggest 60 to 90 day window.
Yeah, it's really,
it's not going to happen in what you're accustomed to today.
And so many of them will not email the packet to you. It has to be snail mailed. It takes about 2 weeks to get to you.
Good point.
Lots of times.
Right.
And then it's page after page after page of stuff to fill out, and you have no one to really help you with that.
Right.
Now, if there's a local lender here in the metro that is servicing that loan, such as SWBC, mm-hmm. and there's some other local lenders around, too, that have these
right,
loans.
That service their own loans.
If you happen to be lucky enough to get one of those, you can get help actually filling out all the paperwork.
But Dean and I would have no problem meeting with somebody that has an interest in assuming an SWBC loan.
And it would be worth the trouble. If you could get a 3.5% loan, 3.25% loan, even a 4% interest rate loan.
Right.
It's certainly worth the trouble to be tolerant of the time and the effort it takes
yeah,
to do that.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to get in the sixes or sevens if you originate a new mortgage.
Yeah, and if you're lucky to assume something, you know, from 2000 or 2021, we're talking 3%-ish,
right.
if not below 3.
Right.
Which would, you know, that would be a significant savings.
Yes, it would.
Life of loan savings.
Okay. So, but it's going to take a little longer. Typically.
It is. Yep.
Yeah. Six. I think usually if you're very diligent with your timelines, you can do it in about 60 days usually.
60 is probably a good expectation.
Yeah. But whereas a typical mortgage, you can do easily in a month.
Right.
A new mortgage.
Right. Correct.
The new higher interest rate mortgage. Right. So on FHA, just to kind of sum it up, it is $500 to assume it. Now, you have to write the contract to assume the mortgage and put the terms of the mortgage are like fill in the blank parts of our contracts,
right?
Right? And so you could buy an equity or you can adjust the equity or adjust the down payment basically. But what happens to the escrow account when you assume a loan?
Good question. We haven't talked about that. But, the escrow account that is associated with that loan will also transfer with that loan.
How about if it's short of funds?
Unfortunately, that's a good question. I would say one of two things will happen. Either that shortage will have to be made up at closing, or you're assuming an escrow account with a shortage.
Typically, you have to pay that in cash.
Yeah,
the seller
have to make up the escrow shortage. Mm-hmm.
The seller makes up the escrow.
Right.
On the transfer
right.
because they want that transferred with adequate funds to pay the taxes, interest, mortgage, insurance, whatever comes out of that escrow.
Yeah.
They need enough money in there to do that.
I agree with you.
And you can purchase the escrow or you can just assume the escrow.
Correct.
Get a good realtor to write that contract for you so that you can get it to your advantage, because so many folks don't realize, and that can be a huge sum of money, easily $4,000.
Yeah, it could be significant.
Yeah, and that's cash out of pocket.
Right.
$4,000, $5,000.
So, Becky Wynn, and this we may take this into the next segment, but what you end up really doing is marketing the equity of that house, right?
Well, the equity is sometimes worth more than the house is what it amounts to. No one's going to buy a house just because of a low interest loan, because the point is, on these types of loan, these aren't rental properties. You have to be an owner occupant of a VA loan or an FHA loan. They can't be. Now, used to, you could do that. I've assumed a lot of FHA and VA loans and held them for rental property or sold them for a profit. But nowadays, that's tightened up, and you have to be a homeowner, an owner-occupant, in order to do that, in order to assume one of these loans. So, yeah.
Well, when we come back, we'll be talking about how do you know if your loan is assumable? A lot of people don't know. Right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico. Oh, and in Yukon on Route 66.
Love Casa Perico. Our smoking hot deal today is a little bit generic because I want to let you know that we have several that we have signed listings, but they're not yet on the market. And what I want you to do is to call us because we can give you your own smoking hot deal. You don't care if it's a $97,000 condo. If you're looking for a single-family residence home, and vice versa, if it's a smoking hot deal at $349,000 and you can afford $120,000, that's no deal for you. So let us create your own smoking hot deal. Just call our office or go to our website.
You can go to BeckyIvins.com. You can click on search listings. You can create what would be your own smoking hot deal right there, and it'll alert you if you want to just watch a neighborhood because you have a particular neighborhood that you want to be in.
Yeah, and our phone number is pretty easy. Of course, we're in the 405 area code, but it's 722-3232. Do give us a call. And, you know, most of the calls that I get actually are asking for our vendors. Like, who do you recommend for a loan officer? Where can I get a good deal on a mortgage? Well, a good deal basically is one that's going to get you the mortgage and at a competitive rate. And, you know, so we have our favorites that we like because they do a tremendous job for us. So if you're looking for a painter, a tile setter, a carpet cleaner, an electrician, a plumber, a mortgage loan guy, give us a call because we've got that person for you and we'll create your own smoking hot deal. We're here today with Matt McLean, and as we round out our show, Matt, we're talking about assumptions, and one loan we've not talked about is the 184 loan.
Correct.
And most of you don't know what 184 loan is because you're not Native American. But if you are Native American with a tribal number, you might be eligible for the 184 loan.
Yes, you likely are eligible. And this loan program falls under the FHA umbrella, but it is specific for tribal members and Native Americans.
And the benefit of that loan is the fact that different tribes have different packages.
Yes.
And you can get some help with closing costs sometimes, and others will pay a portion of the down payment for you, or some may say you don't have to have any down payment, but usually it's just about a 2.25% down payment,
right.
Maybe.
Lower down payment, correct.
Lower down payment. Mortgage insurance?
Less.
Less mortgage insurance premium. It has mortgage insurance.
It does, but the down payment and the mortgage insurance are both less than what you would typically get on an FHA loan.
I've heard tell that I am Native American quite a bit.
Oh.
So can I get the loan?
Well, I believe so.
If I could just only produce that tribal card, which I cannot. So the folklore in your family really doesn't matter. You do have to have a tribal card and be a member of a tribe in order to get the 184
Correct.
Loan.
Correct.
But and how about to assume a 184 loan? Must you be a tribal member or a Native American or to assume that loan?
Yeah, good question. And the answer is yes. You have to be Native American tribal member to assume an FHA 184 loan.
And it's also an owner-occupied loan, right?
Yep. Yep. Primary residence, owner-occupied. Yes.
So just because you're a tribal member and you want to assume this and hold it out for rental property, you can't do that.
You can. And they'll actually sign a disclosure at closing that they intend to occupy the property.
Okay. I'm sure there's probably a $500 fee or something like that for a transfer fee for the 184, but is it pretty much like the FHA to qualify?
Very much so.
Financially?
Right. It is, yep. Same credit score guidelines, same debt-to-income ratio guidelines, so exactly like the FHA loan.
Yeah, but you can, if you have a 184 loan and you want to sell that property and it's gone up in value since you purchased the loan and the home.
Right.
And somebody wants to assume it from you, you can sell your equity in that and be relieved of the responsibility that your new buyer is going to make those payments, right?
Correct.
Because
yep.
the buyer qualifies and assumes the risk.
The buyer does, and the seller is released of liability.
That's so important.
Absolutely. Huge. Yes.
It is.
Particularly
enormous.
If you want to go buy another home.
Right. Right. So, wow. Okay. So, could we sum it up a little bit?
We can, sure.
Okay. We've talked about a lot.
We have.
The first thing we need to sum up is FHA. Let's just start with conventional loans.
Yeah. So, conventional loans, pretty easy. They are not assumable.
Okay. That's Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Now, if you've got a private conventional loan, say somebody carried the note for you, you have to read your mortgage to see if it's assumable.
Yeah, you need to read your mortgage or reach out to whomever that lender may be. You know, not totally uncommon, like, for instance, your credit unions. If the credit union kept that loan in its portfolio, there's a remote possibility that it might be assumable. Be worth asking the question if you're interested.
Yeah. Credit unions are pretty smart. They don't.
Yeah,
they're not going to.
Many of them sell in the secondary market.
So. Keep a 3% mortgage if they can get a 7%.
Correct.
Coming in, right?
Right.
Okay. So conventional loans,
not assumable.
Not yeah. assumable. Okay. USDA loans, which is the Rural Development Loan, basically.
Right.
Assumable.
They are. Yes.
Assumable.
Credit qualifying.
Okay. And you have to qualify under the conditions of that specific product.
Of that product, which, again, would be the credit qualifying as well as qualifying for the income restriction.
And you have to make enough but not too much.
Correct.
On the USDA.
Right.
Okay. And then we've got the, let's just stay with FHA. FHA loan, you have to qualify.
FHA, you also have to credit qualify.
Pay a $500 fee.
Pay a $500 processing fee.
And then you can assume the mortgage if you qualify for the mortgage.
Correct.
But no appraisal.
No appraisal.
Okay. And how about the 184 Native American loan?
Yep. You can qualify for those. Again, credit qualifying, but you must be Native American.
With a tribal card.
Yes.
You can't just say, grandpa
said
he was.
You have to be able to document that.
Okay. And then and the FHA, the 184 loan, the Native American loan, yeah. and the USDA are all under that Department of Housing and Urban Development
Correct.
Umbrella.
Correct.
And so the qualification for that is all pretty much the same.
Very similar, yes.
Okay. And then the VA, which we have a lot of here in central Oklahoma.
Yeah, we do. And we talked about it a little bit more complicated, but if you're a veteran, you can assume that loan from the selling veteran. The selling veteran will be released of that entitlement or that eligibility associated with the property. The assuming veteran will substitute their eligibility or entitlement. However, also on a VA loan, if you're not a veteran, you can assume a VA loan, but the selling veteran will, their entitlement will remain with that property, will be tied up.
Right, until that loan's paid off.
Until it's paid off, correct.
So then they may be able to get some of it back.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Should be able to, right.
Yeah, and that's a very complicated formula, too. In fact, we need to talk about VA eligibility at some point, because the VA eligibility is now a point system. It's not you served, you are eligible. No,
yeah,
it's a point system. So it's very complicated.
Dean and I would be happy to come back and have that discussion.
Yeah, because that is a complicated issue. So You've got it. If you assume of any of these loans, you have to be an owner-occupant. You don't Correct. Buy them as rental property.
That's right.
So there you go.
And you know what? Dean and I are available. If you have questions whether or not your loan's with SWBC or not, feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to answer questions and hopefully point you in the right direction.
We'll see you next week.
Right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
Be a good day. May the Lord always watch over you. And may all of your hopes turn to wishes. And may all of your wishes come true.